In June last year, there was a newspaper heading that read as follows: Preachers lock horns in court over church. Two bishops, in fact, one from the Redeemer Gospel Church, the other from the Jesus Celebration Center. I don't know who was right, but I do know that that is wrong. Isn't it? When I read that, I thought the devil will be rejoicing. The world will be sneering. Young Christians will be stumbling. Older Christians will be sighing. And heaven will be weeping. It doesn't matter who's right. What matters is what's right. In an old monastery in Germany, the Bebenhausen Monastery, there is a chapel. People go to worship there. Outside the chapel, there is locked horns of reindeer. And the story goes that two reindeer with their little ones came across a small burr. But the small burr was enough food for both families. But the reindeer decided to lock horns. They fought and fought and fought and fought, and neither of them would give way. As they were fighting, the burr decided to eat their little ones. They continued to fight and fight and fight and fight. So the burr went, brought back other burrs, and they ate the reindeer. And all that was left were the locked horns. Someone wrote, "Every church, take note. A house divided against itself cannot stand." Should we get real this morning? Every New Testament church, without exception, had issues of division and schism, fallout between Christians. Anybody who aspires to Christian ministry, listen to what I'm saying. Conflict in the church is one of the constant irritants in ministry. People who won't make up with each other, who continue to talk about each other, who fall out at the drop of a hat, who are touchy in the extreme, who won't obey Christ's command to love one another. In the church at Philippi, as we shall find out in chapter 4, there were two women who refused to get on together. Paul has to address those women specifically. But in chapter 3, he also writes about dogs, devouring dogs that come into the church. People who want to tear you apart. People who are always right. Ever met them? Here we have Paul's plea. Number one, for harmony. Number two, for humility. And number three, for hope. So, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, Any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy, says the apostle to the Philippians, by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Encouragement in Christ. It's unchristlike for believers to be at odds. Participation in the Spirit, it is unspiritual. Any sympathy, any kindness, it's unloving. No, here's Paul's plea for harmony. Being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord. This is not uniformity. Where we all look the same, stand the same, dress the same, speak the same, like the same food, go the same places, do the same things. No, every man and woman is unique, made in the image and likeness of God, but unique. We're all totally, utterly, completely different. One of the genius of Christ's church is that it's made up of men and women and young people from all sorts of different backgrounds, upbringings, persuasions. It is this having the same mind and the same love and being in full accord about the essential issues of the Christian life. Now, my real close friend was Steve Cossack. He was dead straight, but I loved him. He would tell you straight, but he'd walk with you. What's more, I happen to like his wife. Come on, Kath. You see, Kathy and I have known each other for a long, long, long time. Now, can I show you something? If we were to walk at odds, this is what would happen, okay? We'd get tension, absolute tension. It wouldn't be long before Kathy will be giving me a piece of her mind, I'm telling you now. What's more, not only is it tension, but there's no progress whatsoever at all. However, if we go walking together, look what happens. We make progress. Listen. Thank you, Kath. Listen. Be of the same mind. Have the same love. Be in full accord. Be of one mind, one heart, one spirit. Having one direction. Accepting each other's differences. Accepting each other's different opinions on issues that don't really matter. Keep the main things, the main things. Now, I wish you were with me on Thursday. Because on Thursday, I was at Young at Heart. Put up your hand if you were there. Okay, well, at Young at Heart, can I tell you, the people at Young at Heart are in their 70s, 80s, and some of them in their 90s. In fact, Flo, whose funeral I took last week, came to Young at Heart. She was 102. So here are men and women, old, really fragile. And I decided I would teach them a song. It was the song called Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. Do you know what was beautiful? 40 or 50 people, fragile but singing, leaning, leaning, safe and secure from life's alarms, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. And then I did something. I said, I want you to sing in harmony. You sing melody or soprano. You sing tenor. You sing bass. You sing alto. And they began to sing in harmony. And it was absolutely wonderful. Do you remember the Carpenters singing? I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. Do you remember the verse they wrote? I'd like to see the world for once all standing hand in hand and hear them echo through the hills for peace throughout the land. Can I tell you, as a pastor who for 36 years has spent an awful lot of his time doing firefighting, wouldn't it be lovely if the church of Jesus Christ followers of the King of Grace, made up their mind to be of the same mind, the same love, being in full accord, obeying the command to love one another as God has loved us. A plea for harmony. Number two, a plea for humility. Verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form. He humbled himself, became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility. Augustine was asked, what are the three qualities that most make a man or woman like Jesus? He said, number one, humility. Number two, humility. Number three, humility. Hey, Paul, do you know you could be writing for the 21st century, not the first century? Rivalry and conceit? Rivalry, jealousy, envy, pettiness, competition, competing, comparing, complaining, criticizing, and conceit, arrogance. Believe what I believe, no more, no less. I am right, no one else confess. Say what I say, do what I do. I might fellowship with you. I am right. You are wrong. Ever met them? Come on. Oh, I suppose you know the story of Mr. Hardhammer, don't you? He went to church and he was a self-appointed monitor. He would hammer everyone. Everyone except him was wrong and he was right. At the end of his life, though, he was conscience-stricken. He went to the pastor and said, listen, I've been realizing all these years, all I've ever done is criticize people. Do you know there are some people who never talk to other people, only talk about them? Did you know that? Did you know that there's so much bad in the best of us and some good in the worst of us, it hardly becomes any of us to talk about the rest of us? At least go and talk to somebody face to face, not talk about them. Mr. Hardhammer comes and says, oh, listen, I feel really conscience-stricken about this. Oh, said the minister, I've got a good idea. Look, this will help you. Take this great big pack of nails, take this hammer, take this wood and build yourself a shed. Go and hammer it. So he hammers it, boom, 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 lets out all his frustration. He builds this shed, fantastic, comes back and says, I feel better now. That was a bit of therapy. Good, said the minister, now I want you to take it apart and take all those nails out. What? Yes, take it apart, take all those nails out. What are you left with? Holes. Holes. Lots of holes. Listen, please listen. Don't end your life having left lots of holes in people's lives. No, think of others. Esteem others better than yourself. What's more, have the mind of Christ and follow his example. Look at this. This is amazing. Jesus is essentially, eternally, and equally God. In essence, he is God. Equally, he is God. Eternally, ageless, timeless, deathless, changeless, he is God. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, who with the Father and the Spirit together is worshipped and glorified. Yet he didn't consider his deity something to be grasped, something to be competed with. Look what he did. Watch me. Paul says, let this mind be in you, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. Ready? But made himself nothing, of no reputation. Nothing. Took on the form of a servant, literally a slave. Being found in likeness as a man, became a man. Being in human form, lower again. He humbled himself, lower again. Became obedient, lower again. To the point of death, lower again. Even the death on a cross. That was the humiliation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Became a man, became a servant, became a victim, became a curse. Here he is. He lays in a borrowed cradle. Here he is. He sails in a borrowed boat. Here he is. He takes a borrowed coin to make an illustration. Here he is. He rides on a borrowed donkey. Here he is, he lays in a borrowed tomb. Here he is, he washes the disciples' feet. Think of others. Have the mindset and attitude of Christ and follow his example. Repent of a divisive spirit. Repent of a selfish attitude. Repent of a proud heart that always wants its own way. I read this week of President Roosevelt, whose children said, my father always had to be the forefront of everything. If he went to a wedding, he had to be the bride. If he went to a funeral, he had to be the corpse. If he went to a church, he had to be the preacher. If he went to the ball game, he had to be the ball. Made himself of no reputation. Took upon himself the form of a servant. Was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Became obedient unto death. Even the death of a cross. Humility. Number three, Paul's call for hope. The only hope for the world. The only hope for the universe. The only hope for the church. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ is the only hope for the universe. We've sung that. The whole universe is groaning, waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only hope for our world, war-torn. stricken. And it's the only hope for the church that we allow Christ in his exalted state to reign and rule over our lives. Because here is the principle. Those who are humble, God exalts. Here is Christ, lower. But now God has highly exalted him. His resurrection, his ascension, his intercession, his mediation, his coronation. And more than that, the declaration to the world of his universal domination. Every eye shall see him. Every knee shall bow to him. Every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And men and women from every tribe and nation and kindred and tongue shall name his name. It is the only hope. And the only hope for Christians in strife is that they acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord, really as Lord. That name which is above every name is not the name of Jesus. It is the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. In the Acts of the Apostles, his Lordship is mentioned 92 times. In the New Testament, 747 times. He is Lord. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of all. Paul's call for harmony, for humility, and for hope. Take these lessons home with you. Lesson number one, do all you can to resolve conflict. Do all you can. If you're Mr. Arrogant, repent. If you're Mrs. I'm always right, repent. Seek the Lord and humble yourself. We have to humble ourselves every single day. Every single one of us, without exception. Do all that you can. What did the Apostle Paul write to the Ephesians? Earnestly. Endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Do whatever it takes. Do whatever it takes. Go wherever you need to go. And make reconciliation as far as in you lies. Do you know I love J.C. Ryle? He was the first Bishop of Liverpool. He was a tall, imposing person. He went to Oxford. He had a long white beard. He came to Liverpool and he said this. When I came to Liverpool, I had to learn, number one, to crucify my style, and number two, to have a fireside ministry. Listen to me, you don't get reconciliation by text, you don't get reconciliation by email, you don't get reconciliation by sitting in your own house, you get reconciliation by having eyeball to eyeball, heart to heart, face to face, genuine humbling of yourself before another man, before another woman, saying, listen, this is not right, let's put things right. You can't pastor a church from an office. Have to be in people's lives, in their heart, in their home, face to face. Do all you can to resolve conflict. Number two, God's way up is always down. Mr. Hardliner, will you take note of this, please? Mrs. Monitor of the Church, will you please take notice of this? God's way up is down. Humility, lowliness of mind, others, esteeming others better than yourself. F.B. Meyer said, when I began my Christian life, I thought God's gifts were up there on the top shelf. As I get older, I realize they're down on the bottom shelf. Isn't that true? Servant-heartedness, lowliness of mind, esteeming others better than ourselves. Number three, follow your leader. Fortunately, in the second service, I'm speaking to people who, some of whom are the same age or a bit older than me. You see, they don't play follow the leader nowadays. They have their phone. Everything's done on the phone these days. You know, when we were kids, we played the Alley-O, didn't we? And rounders and tick. Remember that? And we play follow the leader. The leader goes forward, we follow him. Leader stands on one leg, we follow them. Leader puts his arms up, we follow him. Leader sits down, we follow them. Follow the leader. Follow our leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, the pastor, the elders, the deacons, the Sunday school teachers, the ladies' workers. They are not the head of any local church. Jesus is the head. Follow him. Follow him. I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And pray for the mind of Christ. Every day, pray for the mind of Christ. Every day, friends. Learn it off by heart. May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day by his love and power controlling all I do and say. May the word of God dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through his power. May the peace of God, my Father, rule my life in everything, that I may be calm to comfort the sick and sorrowing. May the love of Jesus fill me as the waters fill the sea. And remember John the Baptist? He must increase, I must decrease. Him exalting, self-abasing, this is victory. May I run the race before me, strong and brave to face the foe, looking only unto Jesus as I onward go. May the beauty, oh, may the beauty of my Saviour rest on me as I seek the lost to win. And may they forget the channel, seeing only him. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 12, those who exalt themselves will be humbled. The humble, whoever humbles himself, will be exalted. James said, God opposes the proud. Hey, listen. That's something, isn't it? To have God as your opponent? He opposes the proud. And he gives grace to the humble. What did Peter say? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's your responsibility and mine. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And he will lift you up, because God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Let's stand and sing.